Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you again. And to those of you that I've not met before, my name is Ronnie. I live about 50 minutes south of you in Sugar Land, but it's a delight to come up and an easy drive on a Sunday morning coming through. Like, I've never seen Houston so wide open and welcoming and easy. It's so nice to drive up on a Sunday morning. Let me tell you in advance, I had to do this once before over the past 9 months, but I've got to leave. As soon as I finish, I won't be able to stay and just chat and say hello. Our youngest grandchild, we have six grandchildren. Our youngest grandchild, Millie, turned six this past week. And we've got a big family. Okay, great, thank you. We've got a family birthday party today. It'll start about 11:30, so I'll miss the first part of the pizza, but I'll get there for the main event. And so anyway, you'll know why I'm being a little quick on the release today. Hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and all God's best to you as you move into 2026. You know, some of you would love to replay 2025. Some of you, not so much. And you're ready to turn the page and move into 2026. I cannot guarantee that 2026 is going to be your best year ever. I can promise you this. The Lord walks ahead of you. The Lord is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You do not have a guaranteed itinerary, but you have a great God and King who loves you, who is with you, Emmanuel, Lord with us. And you can know that as you move into 2026. Okay, let me move. Today's message, very, very simple. I'm calling it forward motion from a passage of Scripture that I think is absolutely inspirational, and it is weighty. And so the Apostle Paul had a wonderful relationship with the church in Philippi, that strange old European city. You remember some of the early converts there, Lydia, the Philippian jailer. And so Paul had a wonderful relationship with this church. Reading Philippians chapter 3, beginning verse 12. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. Is this false humility? No. But I press on. I do what? I press on. Some energy here. Some work, some effort, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Excuse me. By the way, I may cough quite a bit today. I'm fine. Just, you know, hang with me. Don't let it disturb you. I'll be okay. And when I cough, I don't spit very much, so let's, okay, yeah. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it. Let me stop there. I've not achieved it. He's already said that I still have some growing to do. I still am pressing on and looking forward. Now remember, this is the Apostle Paul. And I would want to say, aren't you the one who heard the audible voice of the Lord? Aren't you the one who was caught up into the third heaven? And you're telling us that you still have room to grow. Yes. He said, I've not arrived. I don't know if you've ever been to Switzerland. I've had the opportunity to visit there. And supposedly, and near Zermatt, there's a cemetery where a number of climbers died in mountain climbing, and one epitaph says he died climbing. Actually, I think that's a pretty good way for us to approach life. You want to die climbing. You want to die before you're through. You don't want to get through living and then wait around to die. And here's the Apostle Paul. So many wonderful experiences and knowledge, et cetera, et cetera. And the Lord has used him mightily. But he says, I still got room to grow. And he says again, verse, forgetting the past, he said, I focus on this one thing, verse 13, forgetting the past and looking forward motion to what lies ahead. And I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Again, I want you to notice the energy here. I come back to verse 13. Let me put it up here on the screen again. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. My friends, there are people who think that the gospel of grace is opposed to effort. It is not opposed to effort. The gospel of grace is not opposed to working hard. The gospel of grace is not opposed to pressing forward in your Christian faith. The gospel of grace is not opposed to sacrifice and energy. Listen carefully. But the gospel of grace is opposed to merit. It's opposed to a sense of merit. What do I need to do to earn? No. The gospel of grace is opposed to merit, but it's not opposed to effort and energy, because we're not going to drift into being a gentleman. We're not just going to drift into being a more effective husband. Ladies, you're not going to just drift into being a growing wife. You're not going to just drift and float into being a more effective disciple of Jesus. If you read the book of Proverbs, it talks about looking at vineyards. And if you've ever been to an area where there are vineyards, it is impressive to see row after row and to see the care and how meticulously maintained they are. And the point being, this didn't just happen. My wife really likes to cook, and she is an excellent And years ago, I would help her do the dishes after a meal. But a few years ago, I said, honey, you cook. You're an excellent cook. You mess up a lot of pots and pans. But after dinner, I'm going to start taking care of the kitchen. And so for, 10, 15 years now, I handle the kitchen cleanup. I cannot cook a lick. I can grill a steak. I can grill a burger. I cannot cook at all. But I will put my kitchen cleaning skills up against you. Now, you might clean a kitchen better than I do. I doubt it. You might clean a kitchen better than I do. And if you do, I will tip my hat to you. But when I first started doing this all on my own, Martha would come in the morning and she would say, oh, it looks like the kitchen fairy was here last night. And then another time, well, it looks like the kitchen fairy was here last night. I said, well, honey, that guy that's cleaning your kitchen, first of all, he does not want to be called the kitchen fairy. Trust me. And so I would appreciate it if you would come up with another name. And so she did. And I like it. And you say, what is it? And I'm not telling you. But a clean kitchen, it doesn't just happen. You're going to become more knowledgeable in scriptures. It doesn't just happen. You're going to make a difference in serving in the church. You won't drift there. You're going to connect more with other believers in 2026. You'll not just drift there. You'll have to make a decision, and it'll be awkward because the number one reason people don't want to go to a small group, they're afraid it's going to be awkward and they're going to be blocked in. Okay. Here's some statements I'd like to put on the screen. First of all, forget the past by facing the past with grace and truth. Forget the past by facing the past with grace and truth. The Apostle Paul said that he was the chief of sinners. Let that sink in. He said he was the chief of sinners. And he actually would think back to his past, but he would look at his past only for fuel for the moment and into the future. He would look at his past as a decorated rabbi and say it was all rubbish compared to knowing Christ. He would look at his past as a murderer and a blasphemer and say, but Christ showed his mercy to me, so to show that if he could be merciful to me, he could be merciful to anyone. My friends, some of you in this room or some of you who may be watching this today or later, you know what it's like to live under the pain of shame and guilt. And the best way to forgive yourself is to simply accept God's forgiveness of you. And God gives you permission to take yourself out of your own penalty box, and you are worth worshiping and serving the Lord. You can take a look at that past, but take a look at the past. You face it with both grace and truth, because sometimes we have to look at our past and say, okay, what did I learn? What did I learn from this? I don't ever want to go back there again. Or, what did I learn from this in a pretty good way? Okay. So a second statement I'd like to put up here on the screen is, you're ready to move forward and get unstuck. Because some of you in this room today may be a little stuck, and here's how and why. It's not a mistake. It's not a problem. But it's a pattern. And wise people, when they sense a pattern that's taking them in an unhealthy direction, they look to make a change and an adjustment. And so, I want you to, first of all, hear the wake-up call. And by hearing the wake-up call, I would ask, is there any pattern in my life right now that's causing significant pain and frustration to me? Is there any consistent pattern in my life that's causing pain for others close to me? And is there any consistent pattern in my life in a negative direction that's thwarting opportunities for me as a person? And if we're going to move forward, next statement, it's important that we be open to new energy and new intelligence. And let me tell you why this is difficult. This is difficult because you are really smart people. You are very accomplished people. And like John Dixon talks about in his book on humility. He says, if we're not careful, we can engage in competence extrapolation, expertise extrapolation, where someone says, hey, because I'm really competent in this field and I'm so smart over here, therefore, I should also be incredibly smart and intuitive over it. Not necessarily. And sometimes people get stuck because they're in a closed system. A closed system. But an open system says, Lord, first of all, I'm open to you. And I am open to you, as I talked about a few weeks ago. Being open to the Lord means, first of all, I'm going to acknowledge my helplessness. Into your hands I commit my spirit, but also I am open to what you might bring about. But not only am I open to the Lord, but also I'm open to other people. I'm not just going to keep saying, well, I'm going to try again, harder. And all I've done is lean into my own intelligence. But if you can be open to outside intelligence, you know, some of you are stuck in a marriage. And you're stuck and you plateaued and you want a relationship to move forward, or it's precarious right now. Maybe, just maybe, you sign up for Marriage 911 in Nashville, Tennessee. And you're open to outside intelligence and outside energy. Somebody in this room has a drinking problem. Somebody in this room, or you know someone who has a significant addiction problem. And maybe some of you in this room with a drinking problem or another addiction problem, you've said to the people that you love so much, you've said to them, I am so sorry, I keep breaking your trust. Would you trust me just one more time? And if that's you and you want to rebuild that trust, I commend you for that. But if you're that person and you've had your trust wounded and broken and smashed to smithereens several times, here's what I think you should say. I want to trust you. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust a proven process that you're willing to get involved with, AA, or legitimate 12-step groups, which, by the way, grew out of churches. Churches created AA. AA didn't work its way into churches. And I'm going to trust a proven process. And if you'll do this proven process that's helped person after person after person after person, if you'll do that and follow the plan, don't just go to the meetings every so often, go early and work the process, then we can trust and move forward. My friends, if you're stuck, and if you're hearing a wake-up call, I want you to be open to some new energy and new intelligence. And spiritually speaking, remember that Ethiopian eunuch who was riding along, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip came to him, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? Aren't you glad he had the mindset where he said, don't you know who I am? I'm one of the top government officials in Ethiopia. I'm in charge of the royal finances. No, he said, I need somebody to teach me. I need somebody to help me. To help me understand. Okay. I've got a few New Year's questions for you. Here we go. Is there anything right now, heading into the new year, that you are pretending not to know about your life? And where some self-honesty is important. Here's a second question. What is it like to come home to me? I think that Martha and I have a pretty good marriage. And if I were to ask her today, sweetie, would you rate our marriage on a scale of 1 to 10? And let's say she's incredibly gracious and generous, and she said, oh, I'm going to rate it an 8.5. And then if I were to say, well, Martha, from your perspective, what would it take to move the needle to a 10? She has an idea. She would have some input to that. I want to encourage you with your mate to maybe ask that question. How would you rate it on a scale of 10? And what can we do to maybe move the needle just a little bit? In a positive direction. Before I got married, I received two wonderful pieces of advice. Number one, never let anybody be more complimentary of your mate than you are. That's good. Number two, remember that marriage is the commitment that keeps you together between romances, not romances with other people. Romances with your mate. It's the commitment. It's that willingness to be bored for a little while. It's that willingness to be unhappy and frustrated for a little bit as we work through it and press on, knowing that even a good marriage takes work and energy. And a great myth is that if we're just so in love, we'll never need to press forward with energy and effort in our marriage. Okay. One more question. Have you been baptized into Jesus Christ? And if you are a person of faith, what are you waiting for? Why would you let this year pass without you saying yes to Christ and beginning your walk with Him? I hope you'll do that. To quote scriptures, arise and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and wash away your sins. If you're fairly new, I want you to know something about this church. This is a church full of good people, and people who are making progress and pressing forward and aiming high and aiming upward. But this is not a church full of perfect people. And you need to know that. And if you think, oh, well, I could never fit here because everybody here is perfect. They're not. They're all at a particular stage of growth along the way. And this is a church that collectively and congregationally is looking to move forward. It's got a wonderful history. This congregation's been around, I think, since 1975. Done so many good things. But it's not resting in nostalgia. And it's pressing on to be effective servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to ask you to be standing, and then I'd like to pray over you. And brother, then we'll sing our song. And during this song, if you would like to make a response for prayer or for baptism, this is your time to do that. Would you please bow with me? Eternal God, I lift these prayers to you as I stand here in the shadow of this waning year. And for some in this room, life is so different now than it was this time a year ago. For some in good ways, and for others maybe in sad ways. But for all of us, we're not the same people we were a year ago. We've had a year to grow in your love and in your ways. And where we have faltered, help us to put our failure behind us. And where we have done well, help us to be glad, but not complacent. And so, Lord, as we move into a new year, walk with us in the power of the Holy Spirit to serve you well. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.